This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with RotoWire.com, and we've got a great show for you today. We got to talk about the coaching carousel. Today, we'll do a little props for MLB for NFL futures. We're going to preview game one of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals between the Panthers and the Oilers. AJ Schultz from RotoWire is going to drop by to help us do that. We'll do a strikeout prop of the day later on and a few other previews of Major League games. And live updates. We got day games going on right now in baseball, too. So, we'll be covering all that. Nick, let's jump right into it, though. The news that broke in the last segment of our show yesterday, Tom Thibodeau fired by the Knicks. A lot going on here, including next head coach odds, of course, because, hey, we get those all the way. I think these are always a little hanky. You know, I always think that they're, what are you basing it on? Do you have inside sources? Are you just like, oh, that's a good name? But clearly, they're not in the business of losing money either. So here you go. Here are your next head coach odds for the New York Knicks. Mike Malone at plus 125 as your leader. Johnny Bryant, who just lost out on the Suns job, more on that in a second, is next at plus 400. I ask you, though, this, Nick, because the Knicks, they fired a coach in Tom Thibodeau, who's arguably their most successful coach since Pat Riley and Jeff Van Gundy. What do you think about this decision? What do you think about these head coaching odds?
Yeah, so I think there's several ways that we can look at this. And, you know, talked a little bit about Tibbs on the show yesterday. I understand the rationale. I understand being disappointed specifically with how that series against the Indiana Pacers turned out. You know, I'm on the record as saying had they lost to a team who is right or wrong viewed as superior, I think Tibbs is still the New York Knicks head coach. You know, to me, this is maybe a little bit petulant, right, to look back and say, man, we were favored in that series. We feel like we should have won. We need to find someone to blame. Why not our head coach, Tom Thibodeau? Whereas had they beat the Pacers and lost to the Celtics or lost to even a team like the Cavs, who had that great regular season record, I think it's a little more palatable. I think it's easier to look back and say, yeah, this is probably how our season should have played out. But I think the Knicks and Leon Rose, you know, saw a golden opportunity to make the NBA Finals, although they would have been heavy underdogs regardless against the OKC Thunder.
True.
They saw that slip away and somebody needed to take the fall. It ended up being Tibbs. Part of the reason I didn't think they would fire him, Jeff, is because he just signed that extension last July. So they'll be eating, you know, significant money over these next 3 years, in addition to likely paying up for their next head coach. You know, there's been some rumors, some names that aren't on the list right now at the DraftKings Sportsbook that they may try to lure away a current sitting head coach. Ime Udoka in Houston has been the hot name today. Jason Kidd out in Dallas has been batted around as well. I mean, the Rockets have already shut down Ime Udoka, but we'll see. You know, if enough money is dangled in front of you, we could certainly, you know, see the Knicks try to lure an established coach. But I think the Knicks will be looking for somebody with some credibility, right? I think they're going in the complete opposite direction of what we're going to talk about in a bit with the Phoenix Suns, who have hired their new head coach. You know, they're choosing an assistant from the Cleveland Cavaliers, somebody who's never been a head coach before, you know, somebody who's going to have a little bit of a runway to kind of grow with this Suns team that looks like it's careening toward a rebuild. Whereas if you're the Knicks, you know, that you're looking at the East as being wide open again next season, and you want to pounce on that right away. I don't think they're going to hire a first-time head coach. I think you want somebody with experience, somebody who has playoff experience specifically to get you over the hump. So I understand why Michael Malone is the favorite. We've actually seen a decent amount of shifting in these odds already. He's now 2-1 at DraftKings. Jay Wright, who was 15-1 yesterday, is now plus 750. I would imagine they will at least entertain Jay Wright. We'll see if he's interested. Obviously, that's not somebody with any NBA experience, so that would be a little bit of a leap. You know, Jeff Van Gundy, he feels like he's been mentioned for every NBA opening like in the last decade and just hasn't gotten his way back into the mix. Taylor Jenkins, of course, is out there. He's 20-1. So I think they're going to cast a wide net. I think they'll do 10, 15, maybe even more interviews, and we'll gradually narrow this thing down. One more thing I do want to point out, Jeff, you said these next coach odds can be a little bit hokey sometimes. Ron Artest, who is currently going by Meta Sandiford Artest, is somebody that you could bet on
really
right now to be the Knicks head coach at the DraftKings Sportsbook. He is 200-1 if you're interested.
All right. Well, I don't like to bet on anything that isn't the actual game itself. That's just me. Maybe awards you could talk about there. But, you know, that's still based off of play. And, you know, sure, there's some biases going in on that. Not to, you know, quell the interest. We are a betting show, after all, of people wanting to bet on this. Good for you if you want to do this. Do your thing. But I don't know. I just think that, you know, first of all, it's subject to a lot of like inside information and things like that. You know, it's kind of like the betting on the draft for that matter, too. I'm not big on betting on that either. So good for them on that. One other thing I'll say about the Knicks as a whole. They had a horrible regular season record against the top teams in basketball. So I wonder if that was part of the decision-making process as well, saying we thought we were this close, but we couldn't even beat the Pacers. And as it turns out, we couldn't beat the best teams, period. So it's not just a Michael Jordan, I took this personally sort of thing about the Pacers. It's more than just the Pacers.
Yeah, no, I get that argument. But I think at the same time, it also kind of flies in the face of this, you know, this different expectation that you then have in the postseason, where it's like, okay, the regular season hammered home that we are not on the same level as the Thunder and the Cavaliers and the Celtics and these other, you know, whoever you want to include in the top teams in the NBA. And then you react differently in the playoffs when you lose to a team that I guess, you know, turned out was better than we thought they were. So there's some mixed messaging going around. But anytime a head coach is fired, especially an established head coach, a guy who's, you know, probably been the best Knicks head coach of my lifetime, at least going all the way back to Jeff Van Gundy, they have not really had, you know, any sort of sustained playoff success, you know, at any point over the last 20 years. There are other things going on behind the scenes, right? I think it's easy to say, oh, they lost to the Pacers, so Tibbs has to go. This is usually a weeks long process. These discussions are ongoing. I would imagine they talk to some of the top players on the team. You know, you talk to other people around the organization. So I'm sure the Knicks have their reasons. And at some point we'll get our, you know, our expose on exactly what happened behind the scenes.
They were replaying Winning Time, the 30 for 30 on that Knicks Pacers series in the bar last night when we were doing the draft. And I was transfixed by it there, and seeing like Pat Riley as a Knicks head coach was really arresting. So it was like, oh yeah, I was like, okay,
are the Pacers going to own that game? On DVD,
I don't know,
Jeff.
Yeah. That's amazing. That is amazing. So we talked about a coach getting fired. We do have a coach that got hired, the Phoenix Suns, hiring Cavs assistant Jordan Ott. You and I spent some time on the SiriusXM Fantasy show this morning discussing that hiring. It is interesting that where the Suns are, unlike the Knicks, on the precipice, they think of maybe winning it all or having that a team that could be good enough to. The Suns are certainly not in that state.
No, they're not. And to me, this is the Suns doing something very rational. The Suns realizing where they are as a franchise, something that they have not done, I don't think, accurately at any point since Matt Ishbia took over and just decided to, you know, immediately transform this team, spend a bunch of money, send out all their future draft picks, and they have nothing to show for it. They didn't even make the playoffs this year. They were the 11th seed in the Western Conference. So this to me signals, you know, you are going into a rebuild, a forced rebuild. I don't think the Suns necessarily want to go down this path, but they are going to trade Kevin Durant this summer. KD next team odds, by the way, are up at DraftKings, and the Suns, his current team, are not even the favorite. So that tells you where the market is on him. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've been studying Jordan Ott and, you know, everything he does as an assistant. But when you bring in a first-time head coach, you know, usually there is a kind of a symbolic window, right? Of, okay, you've never been a head coach before. We're not necessarily expecting you to come in and win 50 games. I think this is somebody who's probably going to take some lumps over the next couple of years as the Suns try to rebuild this thing. And look, if he proves capable, if he's somebody that the players respond to, then he's going to have a chance to hang on to this job long-term when the Suns have a rosier outlook. I mean, it's kind of like Will Hardy with the Utah Jazz, right? Where he's racking up losses every year, but they like what he's doing. And eventually he's hoping that's going to pay off. This will now be Devin Booker's eighth coach in his 11 NBA seasons, which is wild. But all the reporting around this is that Devin Booker was heavily involved in the hiring process. So that just adds more credence to this belief that the Suns will likely move on from Kevin Durant. They'll try to recoup some draft capital via a trade involving Durant this offseason and rebuild this thing around Devin Booker. I do not think the Suns will be a very good team next year, Jeff. The West is going to be ridiculously stacked. I think just about every team, it feels like they're contending right now, except the Phoenix Suns. You look at a team like Dallas, they'll be better. Memphis will be better. Portland will be better. San Antonio will be better. The Pelicans' entire roster likely won't be injured. So we're looking at perhaps some lean years here for the Phoenix Suns, but finally accepting their fate. That's the way I look at this.
Yeah, me too. At least we won't be calling them the Veasan Suns with disdain after everybody on the channel clearly hates the way they play. But they'll play probably harder, too. We won't be disgusted by their blowouts, blowouts and lack of effort in that, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and routine at checkout for 15% off any product. We got games going on. Break up the Rockies. Break up the Rockies. They're in the game right now. They've won two in a row. They've won their first series. They sent out the ticker tape parade for that there, Nick. But, you know, the Marlins have scored two runs. It was 3-0, now 3-2 in that game. Hunter Goodman, more damage done in that game, two for three with an RBI triple. He's legitimately a good hitter, interesting guy for next year. Your Milwaukee Brewers are up 5-1 now on the Reds. This one is, Jackson Churio has homered in this one. The Reds just put Hunter Green on the IL. Brewers, I mean, they had their winning streak stop yesterday, but they bounced right back today.
Yeah, we're about to head to the bottom of the sixth out in Cincinnati. Like you said, Brewers leading that game 5-1. They went with DL Hall as the opener, went three innings, and then handed things off to Quinn Priester. Both of those guys have combined for six Cincinnati Reds strikeouts so far. Rough day for Andrew Abbott, who's been responsible for all five of those earned runs, couple home runs. Daz Cameron added a homer for the Brewers in the top of the sixth inning. So we'll continue to keep you posted on all those games around Major League Baseball. Play a little game of Rate That Prop when we come back. Take a look at some MLB props for tonight. Take a look at some NFL player futures as well. That's coming up on the other side here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson here with you. You still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better than that. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering the code ROTO15. That's R-O-T-O-1-5, ROTO15. Put that in at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. Rolling along here on Prop Points as we dive in on one of our favorite games, Rate That Prop. Taking a look at some MLB player props for the Wednesday night slate. We'll hit some NFL player futures later in the segment as well. But we'll start baseball here, Jeff. Rate That Prop. Taking a look at Chris Sale tonight going up against the Diamondbacks. Chris Sale over 18.5 outs recorded. Getting that at plus 115.
Yeah, I kind of like this one a little bit here. Sale's hit this number in four out of his last six starts. Although he didn't do it against the Diamondbacks when they faced him last time, but that was in Arizona, where Arizona's a much better hitting team. But he's hit that number. He only went five against Arizona earlier on, but the good news here for him too is he's pitching well. I like the strikeouts. We'll talk about that one later in the show as well. And because Spencer Strider only went five innings yesterday, that Braves bullpen needs to be protected a little bit. I think they'll stretch Sale out here, try to get him through the seventh if possible. So I'm going to, with the plus 115 number, I'm going to rate this as a 4 out of 5 on that prop.
Okay, there we go. Starting strong today, 4 out of 5 for Chris Sale, over 18.5 outs recorded. Let's move over to Trey Turner and the Philadelphia Phillies. They are on the road at the Blue Jays tonight. Jose Berrios on the hill for Toronto. Trey Turner, over 1.5 hits at plus 170. Rate that prop, Jeff.
I'm going to rate it a 3. It's somewhere between, it might even be a 2.75. And it's nothing against Trey Turner. Ooh. He's on fire right now. He's hitting .339 since May 19th. And keep in mind, he had three hits last night. Keep in mind, he's on fire right now. They played 14 games in that span, and he's had multi-hit games in 6 of 14 games. So if you think about that, it's a pretty hard thing to do to have a multi-hit game. Going up against Jose Berrios, I kind of like that a little bit there. I'd prefer to see this as something over, plus 200 or more. That's probably as good as Trey Turner is at hitting for average, getting hits, not drawing that many walks. That's one of the key things about hits props is you don't want a guy that's taking too many walks. it's still pretty tough. I mean, if there's something I want to go on betting on doing that, Turner's high on that list right now. And even still, it's a tough proposition. So just a three on this one.
Okay. All right. We'll take a three, a four and a three to start us off. Our final Major League Baseball prop for tonight, Jeff. And we will have plenty more on tonight's MLB slate to close out the show later in the hour. Rate that prop. Bobby Witt Jr. to hit a home run tonight. Just need one homer, 4-1 for Bobby Witt. What are we looking at?
I am rating this one a two, Nick. I just, nothing against Bobby Witt. 7 home runs on the season. 2 in the last 4 games, homered last night. These are positive indicators. 7 on the season is not positive. That's part of the problem, though. The other problem is the pitcher. Miles Michaelis is on the mound. Not that he's an ace, but one thing Miles Michaelis is good at doing is preventing the ball from going yard. He's only allowed 3 homers all season long. Some rain in the forecast, which might mean a truncated game, also works against us a little bit. Plus 400 is a good price for a home run hitter, if Witt were that home run hitter, but I almost need like 450 to go ahead to think about this a little bit closer. So I'm going to say 2 on this prop.
All right. We'll live with a 2 there. We can't all be plays today. So we don't like Bobby Witt to hit home run quite as much. We'll hit some NFL player futures in just a moment. But first, you want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. A no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now, and you'll get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from VSiN hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 25-26 NFL betting guide, which drops on July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited-time offer. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe and use the promo code BOOK, B-O-O-K, to sign up. That's VSiN.com/subscribe and use that promo code BOOK.
All right, Nick, let's switch it over to football. Let's talk a little bit about your guy, Trevor Lawrence, passing touchdown prop, over 21.5 passing touchdowns. You get a -110 price on that one. Rate that prop.
All right. I love that we're just going right to the Jaguars. I know what our producer, Michael Cohen, is doing. He's putting me on the hot seat right away. I'm going to give this a 3 out of 5. So it is in betting territory for me. Again, not one that I'm running over to the window to bet, but I'll think about it. So on the one hand, this feels like an imminently gettable number, right? 21.5, just need 22 passing touchdowns. We're not asking for a whole lot there. On the other hand, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a team that had 19 passing touchdowns as a team last season. Of course, Lawrence missed about half of the year due to injury. Now, he did go over this number in 2022. That was the last time that he played all 17 games. He threw 21 touchdowns in 16 games in 2023. It is worth noting, by the way, that 22 seems low, but only 12 quarterbacks in the NFL did get to 22 passing touchdowns last season. I mean, guys like Geno Smith, Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy, Matt Stafford, CJ Stroud all fell short of that number, despite not missing too many games between that group. With all that said, I'm optimistic that Liam Cohen and his staff will get the Jags offense to where it should be. It's not going to be last season's Bucks, right? Lawrence isn't going to throw for 41 touchdowns. He's probably not even going to sniff 30, but 22 to me does feel pretty attainable. Health is obviously the big question mark with any of these player futures. I think if Lawrence plays 17 games, he's going to get there, but he has had plenty of injuries over the last few years. He still probably takes more hits than he should. The other question mark that I'm looking at, Jeff, is the pass catchers. Love Brian Thomas Jr. No questions there, but still not totally sold on Travis Hunter. They let go of Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram this offseason. They said goodbye to Gabe Davis. Suddenly you're asking a lot of De'Ami Brown and Brenton Strange. And look, if Brian Thomas misses any time, I think this passing game would really suffer. I will say this too. If you do like Trevor Lawrence over 21.5 passing touchdowns, there is some correlation here. You should love Brian Thomas Jr. over 6.5 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, I like that. I like that one a lot. I drafted Brian Thomas Jr. yesterday in the Royal Vegas draft. Madison draft. Mad Vegas. We'll just call it there. Drafted him over a couple of other attractive options at pick 11 there. So let's go. Let's go on that one there. Rate that prop number 2 for the football side of things. Saquon Barkley over 11.5 rushing touchdowns. Same -110 price. Nick, I have a sneaking suspicion you don't like this prop as much.
I want to like it more. I really do. I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5. So clearly I don't love it. Look, I tend to try to fade running backs coming off of all-time great seasons. And I know Saquon Barkley is going into his age 28 year. He's at his, you know, absolute physical prime. You know, Philly might still have the best roster in the league. Almost all their key pieces are back. And yet history suggests that it's really, really difficult to follow up an all-time great season with another all-time great season. You know, Barkley was mostly healthy last year. Obviously, he's had plenty of injuries throughout his career. You do wonder about that luck factor health-wise continuing year over year. And for as great as he was last season, Jeff, he only had, quote-unquote, only 13 touchdowns. The tush push is not going anywhere in 2025. Jalen Hurts had 14 rushing touchdowns for this team a year ago. 11 of those came from the one-yard line, which honestly makes you dream on what kind of touchdown numbers Saquon Barkley could have put up if he had a non-running quarterback on this team. Even so, though, Barkley still had plenty of red zone opportunities. I think it's easy to say, oh, Jalen Hurts just robs him of all these touchdowns. He was still second in the NFL among running backs in red zone carries. So the opportunities were there. You know, four of his 13 touchdowns last year came from at least 65 yards away. I hope that continues as a fan, but that strikes me as something that's unlikely to repeat again in 2025. There will be big plays, but probably not at that same level of frequency. So I think this is a solid number. You know, I think 11 and a half is it's very doable. Derrick Henry, for instance, has done it six of the last seven seasons. I'm not saying Barkley can't get there, but at minus 110, you know, coming off of what feels like kind of a once in a career type of season with a quarterback who vultures touchdowns more than anyone else, I'm staying away from this one.
All right. Let's find one that you might want to go towards a little bit more. Amon-Ra St. Brown, over 8.5 receiving TDs at minus 110. I think you like this one a little bit more, right?
Yeah, this is the one that I'm most comfortable with out of this group of three. I'll give this a 4 out of 5. Now, I do have some questions about the Lions offense post Ben Johnson, but those more so apply to someone like Jameson Williams, maybe Sam Laporta to a lesser degree. I think someone like St. Brown or Jahmyr Gibbs, they're locked in. They're too talented for me to say that Ben Johnson is the reason that they're elite producers. St. Brown has finished with 12 and 10 touchdowns over the last two seasons. He's missed just one game in that span. Again, injury is always part of the equation here, but he has a really, really strong health track record. He was already over this number by week 11 last season. Coincidentally, they did play the Jaguars in week 11 and put up 645 yards of offense in that game. So that might have had something to do with it. But I think a lot of the underlying metrics look good here. Top five in team target share among wide receivers. And most importantly, Amon-Ra St. Brown was number two among wide receivers last season, Jeff, behind only Ja'Marr Chase in red zone targets.
All right, very good. That's going to close out our Rate That Prop. We're going to spin our attention over to the ice. AJ Schultz is going to join us on the Progressive Guest Line coming up next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Prop Points rolling along here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson here with you on this lovely Wednesday afternoon. It's time to talk some hockey. We are still a day away from the NBA Finals starting, but we have Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. Florida and Edmonton, rematch, of course, of the 2024 Stanley Cup Finals. Florida winning that series in 7. Got a friend, AJ Scholes, our NHL assistant editor at rotowire.com, joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line. You can check out all of AJ's work over at Rotowire. You can find him at AJScholes24 on Twitter. AJ, let's take a look at the series. We'll get your plays for tonight's game, of course. But looking at the series market right now, the defending champions, Florida Panthers, underdogs in this series, slight underdogs at that, plus 100 at DraftKings. Edmonton right now, minus 120 to win this series outright. Is that how you would price it? Are the Oilers right to be slight favorites in this series?
I don't think so. I really think Edmonton should be the underdogs here. Yes, they've been getting outstanding goaltending from Stuart Skinner. They've been getting, obviously, good production from McDavid and Drysdale. So they've got big names. But this Florida team is the defending champs. This is their third straight Stanley Cup Finals. They, on paper, have the better netminder in Sergei Bobrovsky. Everything that I look at least on paper, says to me that this is the Florida team is better. I get Edmonton has home ice advantage, but that hasn't stopped Florida yet. They've been on the, you know, on the road in terms of the series for each of the first three. And so if it's not broke, don't fix it. Why turn away from the Panthers if they're continuing to win? I think they should be the favorites heading into this series.
In many ways, this is a legacy building series for Edmonton. You know, they've had this core of players, elite players, and haven't gotten over the hump. Getting to the Stanley Cup Finals last year was actually a big step for them. Is some of the narrative here like, okay, they've gone to this step, it's time to take the next one?
Well, I think it goes beyond that. And if they can't make the next step, if they lose again, do you run the Connor McDavid leaving after next season? He's going to be an unrestricted free agent after the upcoming year. And if they lose again, he may get to July 1 and be like, look, I'm not signing a contract extension until I see how this season goes. So I think it's more than just defining their recent success or lack thereof. They haven't really been that good since the 80s in terms of on-ice success. But I think it goes further into keeping Connor McDavid on this team long-term. If there's not some level of success here, I think eventually he may consider leaving.
Talk with AJ Scholes, one of our NHL editors over at RotoWire, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. AJ, let's take a look at the length of this series. And you know, there are a couple ways, of course, that you can attack this. You can look at the correct score markets, you can look at the total games markets. 7-game series, currently the co-favorite outcome, alongside 6 games at 2-1, 5 games plus 270. Not anticipating a sweep here. That is 6-1. How deep do you see this series going, regardless of who comes out on top?
I don't see a scenario where we get anything less than 6 games. I know both these teams won in 5 games in the conference finals, and fairly convincingly, not a lot of those games offered a ton of intrigue. There weren't one-win overtime games. It was all, you know, 2-3 goal victories, even more than that in some cases. So I don't see this going any shorter than 6 games. For me, my favorite bet here is Panthers winning the series 4-2. That's actually on the favorite in the market, plus 450. It is tied with Edmonton winning 4-3 in a game 7. Both very good options. But for me, I like the favorite here at Panthers winning 4-2 on the series correct score.
Just a general question here, and I'm going to kind of sneak attack on you on this because we didn't throw in the outline, but home ice doesn't seem as important in hockey as home court does in the NBA, home field in the NFL. Would you believe that to be true, and why is that so?
Generally, I would take the opposite stance and say that it is kind of important in the NHL, but the postseason has shown that it really is not. The only explanations I can think of is by being on the road, you're kind of confined into your routine, right? When you're at home, you've got kids, you've got family to worry about, you've got tickets that you need to get for people. There's all these things that I think factor in at home that when you're on the road, look, you're staying at the hotel with your teammates, you're kind of confined to your routine and timing, and it just, I think in some ways almost makes it easier to stick with those routines. Hockey players are notoriously superstitious, set in their ways, and being on the road in some ways almost makes that easier.
We'll have more from AJ Scholes talking game 1 of that Edmonton Florida series coming up tonight in a moment. But first, horse racing's Triple Crown wraps up this Saturday with the Belmont Stakes out at Saratoga. Get in on the action with our friends at First Bet and play in the free First Bet and VSiN Belmont Stakes Pick'em Challenge. Enter your picks for Saturday's top races to win great prizes, up to a $500 wagering voucher from First Bet. Head over to VSiN.com/Belmont to play right now. That's VSiN.com/Belmont. We will have a Belmont Stakes preview coming for you on Prop Points, by the way, on Friday. Bill Finley, our friend, is going to stop by the show. AJ, let's dive in on game 1. Taking a look at the pricing, we got Edmonton -1.5, as you'd expect, on the puck line. That's plus 190. Oilers, slight favorites on the money line as well, minus 122. Total's up at 6.5. AJ, anything you like as far as the money line or that total goes?
Well, if I'm going to pick the Panthers to win 4-2 in this series, it's got to start now, right? And again, we mentioned how home ice doesn't seem to be as big of a deal. You look at game 1 in the postseason, the Panthers are 2-1, and every one of those game 1s has been on the road. Edmonton, meanwhile, is 1-2 in game one and has had more home ice opportunities there. So I think for me, I like the fact that you can get about even money, maybe a little bit of plus money. I snagged them at plus 110. I think that's gone down closer to even. And so the fact that you can get positive value, you don't have to give up any juice on a team that I think is favored to win the series and has performed well in game ones, it's just too good to pass up.
Let's talk individual props for tonight. Are there any players in particular you're honing in on, either goals, assists, anything of that nature?
Yeah, the interesting thing is when I looked at, you know, player props, while I do think that the Panthers are going to win, I liked a lot of the player top props for the Edmonton Oilers. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, it's about the edge of where I would go in terms of giving up juice, but minus 150 to at least get a point in this game. They've got him playing right now up with McDavid on that first line. His value definitely goes down when they flip him and Leon Draisaitl, and Nugent-Hopkins anchors the middle of that second line, but right now he's on the top. You look at that Dallas series, 9 points in 5 games. So really, and a lot of those are assists. So I'm not quite certain on him on goal props, 7 assists in of those 9 points, but I like him there. I was looking at shot totals as well. I do like Sam Bennett over 2.5, comes in at minus 135. He's been putting plenty of shots on net right about that edge. I think his average is probably 2.5. So you're going to hope that he can get that third one here. But I do think he hits it tonight as Florida tries to take this game one and take it two. I think volume is the key for them. So shot props for the Panthers should all be, you know, kind of in consideration here.
AJ, let's take a look at some of these series long markets. Most points in the series in terms of individual players here. Connor McDavid plus 130 to lead the series in points. You got Draisaitl at plus 265, Barkov at 9-1, Tkachuk 10-1, Reinhardt 15-1, and then Nugent Hopkins, you just mentioned, 17-1. What's the best value to you in that market?
The hard part is, like, when you look at Florida, they're not as condensed necessarily in terms of like, oh, this guy is putting up all the points. Barkov's at 17. Bennett and Tkachuk are both at 16. So from that standpoint, I think you do consider looking at one of, you know, McDavid or Draisaitl. I personally would take Draisaitl just to get, you know, the 2.5 return, but either one of them. But the Panthers for this prop don't make a ton of sense to me because they've been spreading it out so much, and it's not just one guy really leading the way for them.
All right, AJ, we'll be checking in with you next week as this series rolls along, but this will be the final time we talk to you before game one and before this series begins. We need an official prediction. Who's winning this series? How many games?
Yeah, I kind of teased it already, but I've got the Cats in 6 games. I think they can, you know, neutralize the home ice advantage or home ice non-advantage for Edmonton here. And you get really good value on that. So I take them tonight. I take them on the series. And I think it'll be 6 games for the Florida Panthers.
All right, there we have it. Our guy AJ Scholes from RotoWire locking in the Florida Panthers to win their second straight Stanley Cup. Do it in 6 games. That is plus 450 right now over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll give you score updates in Major League Baseball. Jeff will give you his best bets for the Wednesday night slate coming up next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson here with you, taking you up to the top of the hour. Make it rain with Adam Schein, of course, coming up next here on VSiN. That starts up at 3 p.m. Eastern. Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard coming your way at 4. And VSiN Primetime, manned by Scott Seidenberg tonight. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. We got some G-Bank best bets for you. We have some best bets for the night slate in Major League Baseball coming your way. A couple games currently in action. We did just have one go final, Jeff. The Colorado Rockies have done it. They have swept the Miami Marlins, a 3-2 win for the Rockies today. That moves them now to 12-50 on the year. So we're still pacing for, like, I don't know, 28, 29 wins But easily the best stretch of the season. First series win of the year for the Rockies. Obviously, their first sweep as well. Brewers continue to jump all over the Cincinnati Reds. Just tacked on another run in the top of the eighth. It's now 6-1 as we head to the bottom there. A lot of runs on the board out in Boston as well. We had 9 runs in the first inning, Jeff. It is currently 7-5. Angels leading the Red Sox. A couple men on for the Angels right now in the top of the fourth. Taylor Ward has a 3-run homer. He also has another RBI, so working on a big day. We'll keep you posted if any teams add to those scores in the next 15 minutes. But, Jeff, you got a bunch of best bets for us for the rest of this slate. And I want to go to the series everybody has their eye on right now. Two of the best teams in the National League, the Mets and the Dodgers out in L.A. Griffin Canning taking on Tony Gonsolin tonight. Dodgers minus 148 on the money line. Totals all the way up at 10. And that is minus money to the over. So what do we like here?
It's barely minus money to the over. It's minus 102. The under is minus 118. And I think that's noteworthy. You know, they're trying to push us to taking the under on this one here, but to take the over on this one. And I'm just that fool. I'm going to be like stepping into a lot of these lines today. Like I'm going the way they want me to go. It's the invisible hand is pushing us there. Tony Gonsolin's been terrible lately, guys. 4 home runs allowed in his last outing, and he's allowed at least 4 runs in each of his last 3 outings. It's been rough. He gave up 7 hits and 3 walks against the Mets and his start against them a couple starts ago. So I don't expect good things out of Gonsolin. I don't think he'll go more than 5. I think he'll struggle to do that. We've already talked about how the Dodgers bullpen is being taxed a lot. We spent a lot of time talking about this yesterday. Played an extra inning game yesterday. So that bullpen's even worn down a little bit more. Kasperius pitched yesterday in relief of Kershaw. He probably won't be available for too much. So you take away one of their better relievers. Another reason to kind of lean on the over there. And then on the other side of the thing, Griffin Canning is, you know, kind of morphing into who we thought he was sort of territory now. A ticking time bomb here, a 1.4 whip. Didn't even make it out of the third inning against the Dodgers a couple starts ago when he faced him here. We'll have Edwin Diaz back for the Mets. He is available. He wasn't available last night. And that's why Brazoban blew the save to gave up that moonshot to Max Muncy. I think just landed just now. So I think this is still over territory, even with the high number. I think minus 102 is not a bad price to pay on that one there. I think maybe 105 now. So maybe others agree and it's already gone up a little bit more. Nonetheless, I still like the over at 10.
Another big series ongoing in the National League. Padres on the road at the Giants. This one close on the money line. San Diego minus 115, Giants minus 105. Nick Pivetta going up against the lefty Kyle Harrison. You just took the over on a big number, Jeff. Do we like the under on a low total here at 7?
Yes, I do. And it seems perverse. Now, this one I struggled with a little bit more because, two good pitchers, Pivetta and Harrison, are at least recent form. Harrison has had 2 starts in relief of Justin Verlander since Verlander's gone on the IL. So, he's not a guy that goes deep into games, but the Giants typically have a pretty decent bullpen. I know Duvall gave it up last night. It was 2-0 in that game going into the 9th inning. 2 outs, actually, even. But they knew that I was on the Padres money line. So, they did good work for us there. We're appreciative of that. But nonetheless, Pivetta, the one thing you worry about a little bit, 169 ERA at home, 432 on the road. However, ballpark factor, San Francisco is a great place to pitch too. So, and I'm not fearing these Giants bats. They haven't been on fire lately. They're not that great of a lineup and they've been struggling a little bit lately too. So we're going to go under 7, minus 102 again. The more profitable side of that, it's 108, 118 on the over. I actually like the under anyhow there. So going outside the goalpost for these first 2 picks.
Okay, we got an over 10 and an under 7 to start us off. Let's move over to Diamondbacks, Braves, another big series in the National League. Merrill Kelly on the hill going up against Chris Sale. Atlanta minus 175 on the money line tonight. Total coming in at 7.5. Looking at a K prop here, Jeff.
Yeah, we are. We talked about Chris Sale earlier on rate that prop in terms of outs. Well, I like the K prop even better. K prop is set at 6.5 strikeouts there. I know it's minus money at minus 120, but he's hit that number in 5 out of the last 6 starts. 8-8-8, 2-10s, there's 1-6 in there. He did face the Diamondbacks before that stretch and only allowed 4. But I was digging into the numbers a little bit more on the home run splits of the Diamondbacks. And they're a team that doesn't strike out a ton at 19.3%. but that number jumps to 22.2% on the road. So clearly they thrive hitting at home a little bit more than on the road. I know they got to Strider yesterday, but I do think Sale is a little bit of a different brand of pitcher right now. I think he'll get to those strikeouts. The only negative is it's because it's against the Diamondbacks, but that's my pick is Sale on that. By the way, the Braves, 28-32, now 9.5 games out in the NL East, 5.5 games out in the wild card, which doesn't seem like that much, but they'd have to leap 7 teams to get to that last wild card spot. Mm. Still paying attention to that to make or not make the playoffs number there with the Braves.
The Philadelphia Phillies continue their road trip. They are at the Toronto Blue Jays tonight. Phillies -118 on the money line. Total is up at 9. Fun pitching matchup here. Jose Berríos going for Toronto. Mick Abel making his second start of the season, replacing Taiwan Walker in that rotation. You and I were talking about this earlier, Jeff. You're looking at the strikeouts for Mick Abel. A little bit of a suspicious line here, perhaps.
Yeah, this is a Star Wars, it's a trap moment here, but I'm going to walk right into it again. Mick Abel, 4.5 strikeouts is the strikeout prop right now, and you're getting +125 money. They are just prompting us, begging us to go bet the over on the strikeout prop, and I'm going to do it anyhow. He struck out 9 in his major league debut. He's in 57 innings at AAA, he struck out 67 batters. So even though the Blue Jays aren't a big strikeout team, 4.5 just seems like a very attainable number. They are trying to make Abel a thing that happens and have him stick in the rotation ahead of Taiwan Walker. We'll see what happens when Aaron Nola comes back eventually. But Abel, Andrew Painter, these are the next-gen Philly starters. They want to make this work. We'll see if they go six-man. They find some other way to keep Abel in there. Like, hey, Aaron Nola, go ahead, take another rehab start. Maybe we'll go that way instead. But I like the Abel prop.
All right, real quick, Jeff, before we give you our G-Bank best bets of the night, Royals-Cardinals is interesting, really more so maybe for fantasy at this point. I need a big start out of Noah Cameron. Yep. He's trying to hang around that rotation. We, of course, saw the debut of Jack Caglione last night. Went 0 for 5. 3 of those were really hard hit balls. Victor Scott, robbed what would have been at least a double. Anything you like in this game?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. We did talk about the home run prop for Bobby Witt and, hey, ride the hot hand or not. I just don't like that against Michaelis. I think the money line is actually interesting for your Noah Cameron and the Royals. I mean, Cameron's rolling. He's been pitching great. You get plus money on the Royals money line. They won last night. I know that, the Royals lineup is anything great, but let's go +105 on the Royals money line.
Our best bets of the night are brought to you by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, FirstBet, and VSIN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card account, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at FirstBet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. FirstBet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value. It's the $500 trifecta from GBank, FirstBet, and VSIN. Head over to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply now. Terms and conditions apply. Jeff, your GBank best bet of the night. Are we getting anything in early for the NBA Finals? Are you going to baseball? What do you like?
It's that Dodgers over in the Dodgers-Met game. Or if you want to even find some Dodgers sides on that there. Max Muncy, 8 homers in the last 3 weeks, 5 in the last 7 days, 1698 OPS in the last 7 days. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's solid. That's solid. Well, we'll live with that, I think. I'm going over to the NBA. Yeah, I already have Thunder in 5 in the back pocket. We're getting a player prop in before the market moves. Tyrese Haliburton, under 31.5 points plus rebounds plus assists. I think that OKC defense is going to be all over him. I don't think we see an overly aggressive Tyrese Haliburton, particularly as a scorer, to begin this series. That's going to wrap the Wednesday edition of Prop Points. We'll be back at you tomorrow afternoon. Full preview of Game 1 of the NBA Finals coming your way with Alex Barutha. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming your way next here on VSiN.